In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We read the scriptures so that we can have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did in the New Testament, he does now by his grace and by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not only reading the words of God, it's that we have an encounter with the living Word of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever have an encounter with Jesus? It changed your life if you did. I had an encounter with Jesus in 1968. It changed my life. It changed my life. It changed my life. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus in 1968, and it changed my life. I'm looking at the 8th chapter of Mark. In those days, when there was again a great crowd, why the great crowd? They want to be healed. They want to be taught. They want to be delivered without anything to eat. He called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd." Listen to this now. Compassion means to suffer with. "For they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." They've been with Jesus 3 days. It was a 3-day retreat. And as he preached the word of God, he would heal the sick, cast out demons. And now, we can't send them away because they'll go hungry. Listen, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come a great distance. That's real. They came a great distance. Why? Because they wanted to be touched and healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still that way. Today I had 3 calls to ask me to pray for the sick. 3 calls in the morning asking me to pray for the sick. I pray for each one of them and for Anne Marie that all the cancer would be healed. I declare it in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. No cancer. No cancer for Janet. No cancer in Jesus' name. Amen. His disciples replied, "How can we feed these people with bread here in the desert?" Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these 2 should be distributed. They ate and were filled. What happened? There was a multiplication. People say, well, they shared their lunch. They had no lunch. They've been in the desert for 3 days, listening to Jesus, being healed by Jesus. They had no lunch. But Jesus took the 7 loaves and the few fish, gave thanks to the Father, and you know what? They all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were filled. They took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Imagine, not only did he feed thousands, but they took 7 baskets of leftovers out. and the baskets were full. Now, there were about 4,000 men. If there's 4,000 men, there's at least 4,000 women, and not even counting the children. Maybe 10,000 people were fed that day. Jesus wants to feed you with his word. Jesus wants to feed you with the Eucharist. Jesus wants you to have an encounter with his word, that you would meet the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, and that you would experience the power of God in his word. Oh yes, the word is powerful. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately got into the boat with the disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left. And getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring bread. This is really funny. He's just done it twice, multiplied bread. The disciples didn't remember to bring bread. And they're going to ask a stupid question. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." Beware. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and do not see? Do you have ears and do not hear? Do you not remember when I broke 5 loaves for the 5,000 people, 5,000 men, really? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said, 12. "And what about the 7 for the 4,000 people? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" They had no ability to understand that Jesus could multiply bread and fish and feed multitudes, and they're worried because they only have one loaf of bread. It's very sad, but we're just like them. We're just like them. We don't have much faith. We say, "Well, Lord, I've only got a couple of dollars in my wallet." I remember Rhonda and Joe. They had a little baby called JT, and Joe was on at a service, and the Lord told him to put the $10 that he had in the basket. And Rhonda said, "But we have no more money after that $10. Joe said, "I've got to do it because God told me to do it." And so he did it. And guess what happened? When he went home, there was a big check waiting for him. I don't know if it was from an insurance company. I don't know where it was from. But there was a big check waiting for him. Thank God that he threw in the $10. Thank God that he threw in the $10. Thank God that he threw in the $10. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Why? Because there was no faith where he was. He wants to see the blind man with himself, this faith in Jesus. And when he had put saliva on the eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like walking trees." So this guy must have had sight before he knew what a tree looked like. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." I'm sure he went and told everybody. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, or one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" I'm talking to you right now. "Who do you say that Jesus is?" "Who do I say what Jesus is?" He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He died on the cross for us, for you, and for me. Yes, he died on the cross for you. You, I'm talking to now. He died on the cross for you and for me. And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. In another place, Jesus says to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Why was he rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes? They were jealous. He taught with authority. They didn't teach with authority. He healed the sick. They didn't heal the sick. He cast out demons. They didn't cast out demons. They were jealous of Jesus. I'm telling you, jealousy is awful. It's a sin. Who are you jealous of today? Ask God to take it out of your life. Ask God to bless that person. Who are you jealous about today? Don't be jealous. It's not good. And the chief priests and the scribes be killed, and after 3 days, rising from the dead. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine, Jesus said that he would rise from the dead. They have no idea what it means. So Peter says, "No, you're not going to die and rise from the dead. Too many things are happening here. Let's put up a tent and let's heal the people." Jesus, by turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any man wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Men and women, do you want to be his follower? Take up your cross and follow Jesus. I still think the cross that we have is our own bodies. And sometimes it gets very heavy because of the things we don't forgive, the things that we are jealous of. The body gets very heavy, and God wants to clean it out through the power of his blood, through the power of the Holy Spirit. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For What does it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He'll be ashamed of you on the last day. I want to flaunt Jesus. I want everyone to hear about Jesus. I want people to be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. I want people to go to confession and confess their sins and receive the blood of Jesus. Catherine of Siena, saint, mystic, said whenever she went to confession, she was going under the blood, under the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for our sins. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for our sins. Do you know that today? The power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Chapter 9 of Mark. And he said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, there are some here standing who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Come, coming with power. And we're going to see it now. 6 days later, after Caesarea Philippi, they go to Mount Tabor. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, the kingdom of God coming in power. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. What were they saying? They were seeing the risen Savior, how he would look when he came after his death. Oh, yes, this is all about resurrection. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Peter is scared stiff, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one from Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. I hear these people preach that they wanted to build three tents because they wanted to keep this experience going. No, three tents, it's about the Feast of Tabernacles, September or October. Three tents, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Yes, three tents. They wanted to do something familiar. They were not happy with what was happening on Mount Transfiguration. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Do you listen to him? Do you listen to Jesus in the Word and in your heart? Oh, yes. I was praying about something once, and the Lord said, I want you to pray the glory be to the Father the way the people pray it. And so I prayed the glory be to the Father the way people pray it. In the office book, it shortens it. But he said, I don't want it shortened. I want you to pray it as the people pray it. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. Who else do you need if Jesus is with you? Who else do you need if Jesus is there? Oh, yes. Elijah and Moses went back to glory, and Jesus is there looking the way he looked before they went up the mountain. I tell you, this is God's doing these things. Jesus can do anything if you have faith. If you have faith in him, Jesus can do anything, anything at all. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you don't have to have the faith of a watermelon seed. You have to have the faith of a mustard seed. We're looking at Isaiah 43, verse 10, talking to you, talking to me. You are my witnesses, said the Lord. Do you know you're the witness of Jesus? You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. He's talking about Jesus, but he's talking about you too. He has chosen you. You did not choose him. He chose you so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. In other words, the idols are not God. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. This is real. This is real. We have people going to Madame Fufu and asking their future, tying up to the devil, really. This is real. This is real. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. People that go to fortune tellers are in lots of trouble. One woman said to me, oh, I was only kidding. I say to you right now, there's a lion in this cage, and I'm going to open up the door and put my head in, and I'm only kidding. Yeah, kidding, all right. You're going to be dead in a couple of seconds. Yes. Give up fortune telling. Give up astrology. Give up the laying on of hands that's not of Jesus Christ. Let's continue. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other. I declared and saved it and proclaimed it. Then there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord. Again, he says, you are my witness. When's the last time you've witnessed to Jesus? My friend Anthony, who comes on Thursday and Friday, he goes into a gas station, fills up his car, and prays with the person who delivered the gas. He goes to a restaurant, and he prays with the server. This is God. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God, and also henceforth I am he. There is no one who can deliver from my hand. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand. No one can snatch you from the hand of Jesus. I work, and who can hinder it? I work, and who can hinder it? And Jesus works when he sees faith. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. That's even going through the Red Sea. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? What is the new thing? The Jesus event. I'm about to do a new thing. Don't consider the things of old. It's like saying to us, don't consider the Apostles' Creed. I'm doing something new. You never say that can't be something new. The Apostles' Creed tells us all about the faith. Tells us all about the faith. And do not remember going through the Red Sea. I'm about to do something new. And that new thing is Jesus. Do you know him today? Do you know Jesus today? Have you had an encounter with Jesus today? He loves you, and he has plans for your life. He has plans for your life. He has plans for your life. I said that three times because someone doesn't believe that. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Ask Jesus that you would have an encounter with him. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.